Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. It's the morning shift. You've got Mike here, Bo, Ali Mac, and Dylan behind the glass. And the Braves had another frustrating weekend. We've been talking about it all show long. Are you guys starting to come to a consensus about this Ronald Acuña Jr. thing? Did I hear some collaboration?
I don't think so.
No?
Well, and look, I didn't come into the show today being like, you know what, they need Ronald Acuña. That's not my point being is that something has to change. Mm-hmm. I'm tired of watching Groundhog's Day at Truist Park. I'm tired of it. And I think that given the second half of this year, because some of these guys, so many of these guys are under long-term contract, that it's not as simple. You don't have the ability to say, we got to wait till this guy heats up or this guy. The back of the baseball card thing is non-existent for me right now. And so I'm throwing out any scenario that I think kickstarts an offense that is about as stagnant as you could possibly be.
I do have one point we haven't brought up today, is that Friday, when it was that torrential downpour, everyone is out of their seats, and we're waiting to see if this game is going to be played. The Rome Emperors, they canceled their game. I feel like we maybe should have canceled that game. It was so bad, they pulled Ronald Acuña out so he wouldn't get injured in the outfield. Like, that's a problem.
That's a good point.
Because I think that game would have gone totally different.
I don't think that is strictly a Braves decision. I think that has to do with both teams' travels and Major League Baseball and everything else going on with that. So I don't know what the hierarchy goes, but there's I would be curious to know what the rest of the Braves actually felt about that, because a lot of times they don't like pushing games back because then it leads to doubleheaders and things like that. But if you could have fast-forwarded and told the Braves, hey, you're going to get the crap beat out of you, I'm sure they would have been like, you know what, let's move this.
Well,
let's move this to another day.
If you ask Bryce Elder,
sure he wished the game got moved.
Yeah.
Right.
He was awful. And I think you brought up a good point earlier, but maybe it's not his fault. He hasn't been good his last three starts since that Giants game where he was probably the best starter he'll ever have in his life. But you have to make a very valid point with the warm-up thing. And, you know, the whole conversation about the lineup, I think we're just not hearing each other. I don't think Mike's listening to me, and I don't think Mike thinks I'm listening to him. I'm not saying he can't switch the lineup. I'm just saying there's certain guys you can't. A person texts me, and I've gotten permission. Grant texts me, and he's like, okay. And if any of you have seen The Departed, there's a scene in the bar where Leonardo DiCaprio's character hits a guy with a glass and kind of starts kind of beating him up. And one of the main, I don't know if you even call him antagonist, but characters in the story is called Mr. French. He's and he's like, you know who I am? And he's like, no. And he goes, well, I'm the guy that tells you there's guys you can hit and there's guys you can't hit. And that's almost a guy you can't hit. So I'm making a rule and you can't hit him. Grant says there's guys you can move in the lineup and there's guys you can't.
Okay.
Ronald's a guy you can't move. Matt Olson is almost a guy you can't move. But he's not unmovable, right?
Yep.
I will concede you can move Matt Olson, but you can't move Ronald.
Okay. And I do hear that. And like I said, I didn't come in here saying Ronald Acuña's got to be moved to the leadoff spot. And I actually am erring on the side of I would not move him. But I think all options have to be on the table. And I understand Grant said, I could have told you Grant was going to be on your side of that. Grant, I think, likes things to stay kind of status quo. Grant's a believer, and Allie knows this. The conversations I've had with Grant all throughout last year, Grant would have to walk me off the ledge a little bit and be like, dude, it's cool. Like, they'll be fine. And then you see, obviously frustration at the end of last season, the offense. What I hear when I hear you can't move Ronald Acuña, it almost goes back to the conversation we've had about the quarterback room with the Atlanta Falcons. Well, Kirk Cousins cannot be the backup. But I don't ever have reasons why he can't be the backup.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I mean? It's like, well, you can't move Ronald Acuña out of the one hole. Yeah, I mean, like, we're not stealing bases at the same clip we were. And it just keeps coming back to, well, that's where he wants to be and that's where he hits best. But we don't have a large sample size out of what he could do anywhere else in the lineup.
He did not start his career at lead up.
Yeah.
And then at one point, they're like, oh, let's put him, I think, at like three. And it wasn't the same. I
remember them doing that. It was like a week or so, wasn't it? It was a short window.
Yeah. Into that, it wasn't as long as maybe people wanted. But the reality is he is a spark. The lineup, like having him at the top, like leading off games, is just this. And it's not every time, but there are a lot of times it's this spark of energy, and he's been so good there. so good with leadoff home runs, all these things, not moving him. And that's not the problem either. I would move Matt. I could move Matt down to three if I knew I had a guy. Because when the lineup was really operating, it was Ronnie one, Ozzie two, Matt three. Now, I know that you're not getting Ozzie what you used to get. I get that. But I would put Harris at nine. Where you lose me is where I think the biggest thing you got to figure out is when Drake's there. Who is, because Drake has hit some at two.
Sure.
But now I think he's primarily hitting at three behind Matt, and that's where you wanted Matt Olson. So you've got to figure out how to, because the real problem has been 6, 7, 8, 9. And how do you kind of twist that to get the most out of it?
I would put either of the catchers that are hitting in the five hole and move Ozzie down and move Ozzie to seven. And Profar obviously is going to slide in front of that. And look, just to go back to the conversation, we'll put a bow on it. I agree with you that Ronnie batting leadoff is not the problem. I just don't know if we're getting everything we could out of what Ronnie's bat could be. And you mentioned leadoff home runs. I would say if there's one stat to me that sticks out this year for the Atlanta Braves, and I don't even have the number in front of me team-wide, it's been hitting with runners in scoring position. Mm-hmm. And I would like to create more scenarios, whether or not that's Ronnie or not, to give opportunities to our best bats to hit with runners in scoring position. Because if our best bats are, you know, one and two, and if we have a game where three, four, and five go silent, then that's the only opportunities we have throughout the game to be able to actually knock runners in with our best hitters at the plate.
And look, I get it, but you also won't, again, if one and two are getting on, if one's getting on, it means two has a chance to hit with guys. But I need the best, I need the most consistent players getting up. I can't have Eli White or you name it, because there's really no, because there's nobody to put there.
No,
that's
not
the problem.
I was going to say,
and I can't have them getting more at bats than Acuna and Matt.
I would say, and I'll say this, I think that what the situation we can both come back to here and to, you know, put a bow on this entire conversation is, if everybody else in the lineup other than Ronald Acuna and Matt Olson don't play better, then it doesn't matter what you do. It's not going to matter where Ronald Acuna hits and where Matt Olson hits. We can say it till we're blue in the face. If you keep getting the returns you've got out of center field and left field and shortstop and second base, then Ronald Acuna could hit ninth in the lineup for all I care, because nothing's going to happen different than this team in the wins and loss column.
Yeah, and I guess I always think about what's working and what's not working, because I don't want to mess with what's not working. You know, it's funny, Austin Riley gets a lot of grief, a lot. And you look at his numbers, and they have not what maybe they have been or what you need from him, but they're not terrible.
Yeah, like I said, in June at 255.
I could say I need more. Yeah. He's a guy that's always. That's the other thing, is this lineup is a streaky lineup. Olson is very streaky. Riley is very streaky. Ozzie at times in his career has been very streaky. None of them are streaking. Olson is, but that's it. He's the only guy, and he's been, and Ozuna, who has been just so good for the last 2.5 seasons, has suddenly, I feel like he's starting to play banged up. That's why if Sean Murphy starts streaking, then Snit needs to probably have one of both the catchers active. The problem is you don't want both your catchers in the lineup at the same time.
Yeah.
If one's DHing, because now you have, if you move, if something was to happen and Murphy was to get hurt, if he's catching, or Baldwin was to get hurt and Murphy's DHing and he's catching, now you have to pick. Now your lineup just got even worse, because you can't even replace the designated hitter. You have to have a pitcher hitting that spot.
Well, and to your point about Sean Murphy doing well over the weekend, and you know, would he be a good DH or whatever, you know, to be able to put and give Ozuna some time off? One of the reasons he did play well over the weekend is because you faced two left-handed starters. And one of the reasons his numbers have started to climb is because they are able to pick the matchups you want out of that catcher position with the left-handed and right-handed bat. So you start taking that away, and you wonder if Sean Murphy's numbers start to dip as he faces more right-handed hitters.
That ball he hit Saturday night, I mean, that was a rocket. Before we get to this Malik Beasley story, we had we converted someone this weekend.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Tell me about it.
Our boy Dean.
That's right.
Converted him twice. Once with the W sauce, Baron Burton's W sauce. Oh, by man. The way,
He was all over that.
He goes, hey, man, this stuff's pretty good. Where can I buy it?
Hear you guys talk about it all the time. It's pretty good stuff.
I said, it's the first time having it. He goes, yeah. I was like, well, you can go to Publix. They have BOGOs. Or you can go to WSauce.com, use promo code
SQUID,
and get 15% off your order today. And I and Mike can attest, I literally went verbatim into that whole spiel. Like,
and then he comes in. It's not like a life of squid out there at the tailgate.
We're in the middle of we're doing that Saturday show, and we're in the middle of a break. And he walked in, and he was like, man, I should have got beer before I came in. I said, I got one for you. He goes, what you got? The Allen Lager. And he goes, what does it taste like? I was like, just trust me. What'd he say? Loved it. So, anyways,
I was a nobody before I joined the nation.
That's right. I'm out here just converting folks. You know, we had the story. What was
Porter.
Porter's brother. Yeah. Michael Porter's brother.
Jonte Porter, I think, was his name.
He recently found out he kind of had basically been point shaving and giving people insider information, all kinds of stuff. Well, now Pistons Malik Beasley, who was actually going to be one of the bigger free agents, right, Dylan, that's available in the market, is under allegations because basically a prominent sports book detected unusually heavy betting interest on his statistics alone beginning around January of 24, which if you remember, Mike, pretty sure that story came out about Porter in like January or February of 24. So, you know, this guy's probably had been kind of clinched up the last year and a half, Beasley, over everything. There is a one video of a game that is a 7-point or 8.5-point spread in the game. And it's a 9-point game with like 10 seconds left, and there's a missed rebound.
Oh, no.
Beasley grabs it, sprints down court and dunks it to make it a 7-point game in the loss.
Wow.
And somebody was like, see? Right there. Now, it could have been that it was a points thing, right? That maybe he was a point or two away from something that had, but it looks suspicious. And I'm telling you, I don't know, Dylan. I don't think they ever investigate unless they think they got you.
Yeah, I was about to say, if they don't think there's any merit to it, usually they don't waste their time on it. I also saw another video, Bo, where he was guarding Tyrese Halliburton, or guarding, quote unquote, Tyrese Halliburton. And he just let him go straight by.
Wow.
I mean, it was obvious that he was just like, I'm going to act like I'm playing defense, but as soon as he takes a step, I'm going to let him go right by me.
Yeah.
Exactly. He was playing that old Matador defense right there.
And Terry Rozier is also under some federal investigation for activity around unusual betting patterns surrounding some of his stuff. So this is – the NBA is running into this – right now, and a lot of people fear that with the NFL and stuff, I just think it's harder in the NFL.
So much harder.
But man, this is where you get scared with college athletes too.
I agree too, and I think you look at it but sometimes it's easy to identify these guys in the NBA. If the guy signed an $83 million contract and he wants to point shave, guess how much money he probably put on the over-under that day? Probably like $500,000. You're like, hey, it's for some reason, I don't know, we've only ever got $50 on this, but Malik Beasley's over-under today got $500K. Like, what just happened?
Yeah, some guy named Malik Beasley. I don't understand it.
It's weird. I don't know what happened.
Not cool, man. Well, we are donezo for the day. For Mike, Bo, Dylan, myself, Allie Mack, thank you for being here. This hour has been brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. The Steakhouse is coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And don't forget to
stay cool, Atlanta.